Hello, here we are again with another broadcast. We're in Philippians chapter 4. If you can, have your Bible ready. Common verses found in the book of Philippians in chapter 4 is found in verse 11 through 13, where Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He continued, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We're going to look at this chapter in a minute, but first, listen to this message in song. I think if Paul the Apostle was alive today, this just might be his favorite message in song.
All that I need, he will always be. All that I need, till his face I see. All that I need, through eternity. Jesus is all I need. When I am burdened or weary and sad, Jesus is all I need. Never he fails to uplift and make glad. Jesus is all I need. Swept by the tempest of life, Jesus is all I need.
Easy in part whatsoever the strife,
Jesus is all I need. All that I need, Jesus is all I'll need. He will be with me to cheer me, I know. Jesus is all I'll need. All that I need, he will know.
Before we travel down through this chapter, we want to focus again on Paul talking about being content. There's a difference between contentment and happiness. Happiness depends on happenings. If things happen the way we want them to happen, we can be happy. But contentment comes from a proper relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse number 11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now he said, I've learned. To learn is to acquire knowledge as a result of study. Then he said, I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. He said, I know how. Now, he had learned how, and down through this chapter, in fact, through this whole book, he wants others to know how to be content in any situation. You talk about Paul's situation. We read in 2 Corinthians 11:23-28, he was beaten with stripes. He was put in prison. He was close to death several times. 5 times he said, I received 5 stripes, save 40 stripes, save one. He said, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I was in the deep, he said, journeyings and perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of countrymen, perils of the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. Verse 27, he said he knew about weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, and in cold and nakedness. And then he said, beside those things, daily, the daily care of all the churches. If you pastored a church for any length of time at all, you know, it can be quite a thing to get you from being content just to pastor one church. And he had the care of all the churches plus all of those problems. And he said, in the middle of all of that, I have learned whatsoever state I am in therewith to be content. He said, I know how. Then he went on to say, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So to learn is having knowledge acquired by study, to know how to do something, and then to be so excited about it, you want others to know about it. And that's what Paul spent his life doing after he got saved. And then he said, I am instructed. Now, how are we going to be instructed? Well, through the Word of God. So we need to learn, and we need to acquire this knowledge by studying the Word of God. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are always in total harmony. They agree with one another, and they will show us what Paul is trying to show us here when he says, I know how to have contentment when one really shouldn't be content. Contentment is a work of the Holy Spirit on the inside that actually shows on the outside. Contentment is a work of the Holy Spirit in the spirit of a willing Christian. Now, it's important to understand that. We've seen in the scriptures, the Bible says we're a three-part being, a body, a soul, and a spirit. The body is what we live in. The soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. And the spirit, as the Bible says, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. He doesn't bear witness with our mind or our will or our emotions. He bears witness with our spirit. And so contentment is a work of the Holy Spirit in the spirit of a willing Christian. To be willing is to be ready, to be eager and prepared to do something. And what we want to do is learn how to be content. The psalmist said back in Psalm 62 and verse number 5, my soul, that's the mind, the will, and the emotions, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. I mentioned before on this broadcast, it went right after I was saved. I was saved as a young lad, I was only 12. And I came across this in a book I was reading by Alan Redpath. And he said this, and I quote, there is nothing, no circumstance, no trouble, no testing that can ever touch me until, first of all, it has gone right past Christ, right through to me. If it has come that far, it has come with a great purpose, which I may not understand at the moment, but as I refuse to become panicky, as I lift up my eyes to His and accept it as coming from the throne of God for some great purpose of blessing in my own heart, no sorrow will ever disturb me, no trial will ever disarm me, no circumstance will cause me to fret, for I shall rest in the joy of what my Lord is. What a tremendous quote. I read that when I was probably 13 years old, and it stuck with me all these years. Also, when I was a teenager, I read a book entitled The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. You can download that from the internet if you put that title in, The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment, and follow it with PDF. You'll get a PDF outline of that whole book. But some of the things he said in that book, one we quoted earlier, contentment is the Holy Spirit work on the inside that expresses itself on the outside. Contentment is submitting to God's wisely sent circumstances. Contentment is when things are not happening our way and we can have that peace that passes understanding. Contentment does not come from addition, but from subtraction. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, "Be content with such things as ye have." And so Paul wrote about contentment here while he's sitting in a Roman dungeon. Nehemiah, you'll read that book. He's going through some real hard times. And he said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Well, let's look here. We start at the beginning here, at least, in Philippians chapter 4. He says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Now, when we see the word "therefore," we ask ourselves what it's there for. It takes you back to the previous chapter. In verse number 20, it says, "For our conversation," or our citizenship, "is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." There's a great day coming. The Lord's coming back again. I think he's coming very soon. "Therefore, brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy, my crown," he says, "so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Stand fast. Now, you got that twice here in the book of Philippians. In verse number 27, chapter 1, it says, "Stand fast in one spirit and in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Let's have unity amongst the people, he says. Then he says in Philippians 4:1, "Stand fast in the Lord." In the Lord. Now, there's no need to be having problems with one another. We shouldn't have. We do, because we don't follow the Scriptures. But the Bible says in John 16, verse number 13, Jesus said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." So there's no need to have this contention between each other. Contention is the opposite of contentment. There's no need for that. All we need to do is sit down and say, all right, somebody's right, somebody's wrong. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Let's humble ourselves and pray and find out what all truth is. And we find usually that somewhere in the middle of the argument is the real truth. We're victims of our environment to some degree. Well, contentment with Paul was obviously a byproduct of a genuine love and concern for other Christians. He said, "Therefore, my brethren," verse 1, "dearly beloved, longed for, my joy, my crown." And again he said, "my dearly beloved." Paul really loved these people. He had a concern for them. He said, "stand fast in the Lord." Now, 9 times in the book of Philippians, you'll find the phrase "in the Lord." Talks about having confidence in the Lord, to trust in the Lord, gladness in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, standing fast in the Lord, have the same mind one and another, it says, in the Lord. The Lord has the answer to all these situations. Then he says in verse number 2, he said, "I beseech Euodias and beseech that they be of the same mind in the Lord." Once again, obviously these ladies were having some kind of a problem, and Paul says now you need to have the unity within the work here. And so he says in verse number 3, "I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women." Now, yoke fellow, that's what the word means. It's actually a proper name that is in the Greek here, and he's referring to somebody in that local church at Philippi. He's saying to them, "I entreat thee, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." Somebody needs to work here at creating some unity where there obviously was a problem. And so from his dungeon, he writes here in verse number 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." So he says, rejoice in the Lord, not in the circumstances, in the Lord. Always, he said, at all times, on all occasions, rejoice in the Lord. Not, you know, circumstances, can't rejoice in a lot of things going on today, but we can always rejoice in the Lord. Verse 5 says, let your moderation, that word has been translated patience, let your moderation or your patience be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Now, when he's talking about the Lord being at hand, he's not talking about the second coming here. He's talking about what the psalmist was talking about in Psalm 139, beginning at verse 7, it says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. What he's saying is, what the three Hebrew children could say when they got in that fiery furnace, the Lord is at hand. Then he said in verse 6, be careful for nothing. That word careful means anxious or troubled. Be troubled, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be troubled for nothing. Jesus said just before he left to go back to heaven, John 14, verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. So he said, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, if you're going to let your heart be troubled, it's because we decide to let our hearts be troubled. It's a choice. He said, don't do that. But let your requests be made known unto God. I can honestly say, since I was a 12-year-old boy, every single prayer I've ever prayed has been answered. Now, I think about 98% of them have been no, but they've been answered. We think they're not answered if we don't get a yes answer to what we think we need. Years ago, we lived in the country, and we rented a place out there, and I would drive by as I pastored a church in that area at that time, and I'd see this little hobby farm for sale. It was the nicest little hobby farm. And I would pray, and I'd ask God, as I left to go to my office in the morning, I would say, Lord, can I have a hobby farm, please? And then I'd come back for lunch, and I'd ask him for the hobby farm, and then I'd leave after lunch and go back to the church, and I'd ask the Lord for the hobby farm, and I'd ask him again when I came home at supper time. I did that for about, maybe 6 weeks. I said, Lord, could I have the hobby farm? Because the Bible says you have not because you ask not. I hate to find out when I got to heaven I could have had that farm if I just didn't ask for it. So I kept asking, and finally he answered my prayer. He said, no. No, somebody else bought it. Now, I thought I wanted that hobby farm. What did I get? I got a trailer, and my wife and I lived in it, and we traveled all over North America, going especially to small churches to encourage them. You know what? That would be a lot better than playing around on that hobby farm raising a few chickens. We had great times in encouraging people across this country in little churches, and that we're still just trying to do that. Now, that's much better than a hobby farm, but you know, I would have really liked to have a farm. God said, I got something way better than that for you. And sometimes we look and we say, well, God's delays, you know, sometimes he says yes, but not right now. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. So you may be praying for someone to get saved. They may not get saved till 15 years after you die. But the Bible says if we're earnestly, sincerely praying for the things that Jesus wants, then we should be able to come in his name. That's what it means. You ask for it in his name, and you got it. I heard the story of a little boy. If you send a little boy over to your neighbor's house and say to the neighbor, can I borrow your rake? The little boy's not probably going to get it. But if he goes over to the house and says, my dad sent me for your rake, he'd probably get it. Now, what's the difference? He asked for it in his dad's name. And the Bible says if you ask for it in Jesus' name, if you can prove Jesus wants it, then you're going to get it. But you might not get it as quickly as you think you should. Well, he said, let your request be made known unto God. And what happens then? Verse 7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, it's a byproduct. The peace of God, which is another way of saying contentment, is a byproduct of letting your request be made known unto God. We've heard the little phrase, prayer changes things. Actually, prayer changes me. Prayer changes you. As we commune with God, as we get serious about that, we find things begin to change and our will becomes more of his will. So then he says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on thee. See, it has a lot to do with thinking on the things that God wants us to think on. He didn't want me to think about a hobby farm. He wanted me to think about people who needed help across the country. Well, he says in verse number 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, that almost sounds like he's proud. Not at all. He's saying those things which ye have both learned. To learn is to have much knowledge that's acquired by study and received. The Bible says that the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, received the word but with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They not only learned it, they acquired a lot of knowledge through study, but they received it, and they heard it, and they seen it in me. He said, Paul said, if you've heard it and you've seen it in me, do it. Why did he say that? Well, because he couldn't say turn to the third chapter of Galatians, because the Galatians wasn't written yet. And so these apostles, they were God's examples of how those Christians ought to live when the early churches were just getting underway. Well, he says finally in verse number 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now, he said here in the next verse, I have learned in whatsoever state I am with there to be content. He said in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that word which has been translated the things, it's actually saying, in fact, it's been translated the things 8 times, I can do all things through Christ, which doing all these things through Christ strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate it with my affliction. Now, just one more word here on money. We could talk quite a while on that subject, but we won't. We'll just point it out here. It says in verse number 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And he goes on to explain a little detail about their giving. And then he said in verse number 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I know we grab that verse, we say, well, my God shall supply all you need. Well, he will if you do what these people did in Philippi when they were the only ones who were supporting Paul in his local church endeavor. That promise was made specifically to people who had learned how to give, and we never really learn how to live until we learn how to give.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Sacrifice laid, your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of of sacrifice laid. Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and at peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. And tell all the love He will send from above. Oh, how happy our hearts will be made. Oh, what fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? Peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.